Oh, Holy Father, in Jesus' name we come to you and we thank you that you're teaching us to help us, Lord, be more and more and more like you and like the plan you have for us. Thank you that you, Jesus, you, Father, you're the Lord of the way we feel. We don't go by our body or our physical circumstances. We don't go by our bank account. We don't go by other people's opinion. We say Jesus is the Lord of the way we feel, and we praise you and thank you. Now, Jesus, tonight, by your grace, please speak through me. Speak to these people's hearts and tell them what you want them to know, and let us be changed more and more into the image of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, I don't know how you feel about visions or supernatural things, but I have had several visions, and they really made a big impact on my life. One vision I had, I saw John preaching, and the congregation, like you, scattered throughout, and I was watching him while he preached, and suddenly his words turned into those, what do you call them, popcorn, the pieces of styrofoam that are in packages. You call that popcorn, or I don't know what to call it. His words look like that coming out of his mouth. And the popcorny things would go to each person. And it was like the Lord was showing me, no matter what word he said out of his mouth, because he was submitted to God, God could take that word and tell you what you needed, which might be different from what you needed, which might be different from what you needed. And so you would come up to Pastor John at the end of the service, oh, thank you. Thank you for preaching about love. That's just what I needed. It's not even on his notes. And another person, thank you for preaching about faith. I needed more faith. It's not even on his notes. You see what I'm saying? God is so awesome and so strong. He can take whatever is being preached if we will humble ourselves. Now, it takes two humbling, one by the person doing the speaking and one by the listeners. He can take anything that is happening in his name and make it fit your situation, your circumstances, and bless you. Isn't that wonderful to know? I rest in that because when I'm preparing to speak, I don't have all the answers. I don't know all the things, but I rest in him to say to you what you need to hear. Yeah. Amen? And it blesses me. Well, tonight we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not sure how much experience you've had with this, but I teach pretty, I don't go into a lot of detail. If you want to know a lot of detail about something, then you need to find another preacher to enhance what we talk about. But I want to touch on spiritual warfare. And let's go to the first scripture, hope. It's Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, when I have a problem, the way to solve it is not come to you and poke you in the nose. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so I just want to talk about a minute. Why would we be fighting? Why would we be wrestling in the first place? Well, I don't know about your life. I just know about my life. But there are things that come against me. Everything from thoughts to people's words to people's actions, they come against me. And God is telling us through the scripture, it's not people that's the problem. I've heard many preachers quoted, I don't know who really said this, but a preacher said, I love to preach, and if it weren't for the people, everything would be fine. It's not people that's the enemy. That they're not our enemy, not the problem. It's the spirit behind the situation. Go ahead to the next slide. Now, we talked last week about intercessory prayer. And that, along with spiritual warfare, they all take place in what we call the spiritual realm, or the realm of the spirit, or the kingdom of God. So let's talk about the different kingdoms. There's a natural kingdom, and that's where things are tangible. This building, these pews, your physical body, tangible things. That's the natural realm. God created the natural realm. It's great, the natural realm. But when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we take on dual citizenship. We're now citizens of two different realms, or two different kingdoms. One is the natural realm. I still have a body. I still can hear and see and smell and touch and taste. But I also am now, my spirit is alive. I've been born again. My spirit is now alive. And so I'm a citizen of this natural world, subject to the regulations. If I jump out of a tree, I'm still going to fall down. You know, the natural world, the natural laws still work for me. But now I also am part of a spiritual realm or a spiritual kingdom. And in this spiritual kingdom, that's where God is, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, heaven, all kinds of wonderful things. And not so wonderful, the devil is there. And all of his demons and all of his workers are in the spiritual realm. And so if the devil wants to do something to a person, he has to work through the spiritual realm. How does he do that? Well, he gets somebody, some person in the natural realm to listen to him and work against us, right? We can take the most drastic example of leaders in history that have been cruel, horrible, excessively violent and mean, no conscience, no sense of right and wrong. How did they get that way? There's a spirit of the devil that is forcing them or leading them or taking them in that direction. And many people that are in mental institutions have been sorely persecuted and tormented by this in the spiritual realm by the devil, the devil's workers. Amen? But it's not just the extreme. It's that person that cuts you off on the freeway. It's that person that overcharges you at the store. It's that person that laughs when you fall down, And Satan is always, there's a law. There's a spiritual law. That means it works for God and it works for the devil. And that is where two or three agree it will be done. Oh, we love it that it's God when God works, but the devil knows it just as well. So I hope I'm using you for an example. She's a precious friend of mine. The devil comes to Hope and says, you know, nobody in that church likes you. I don't think you should go back anymore. And definitely don't put any offering in there. And when they ask you to do something, they're just using you. You know you could run the whole thing. They're trying to use you. You hear? And so what does he want Hope to do? He wants Hope to agree with him so it can be established. You understand what I'm trying to say? We have a wonderful God, and God said, I want you healed, I want you delivered, I want you prosperous. I've led you to this church, and I want you here, I need you here. You are a light to the people around you. And if you'll say yes, just like she's saying now, if you'll agree, it's established, it's done. But I'm telling you, the devil works the same way. Well, how do we stop him? That verse used the word wrestle. We stop him by spiritual warfare. Let's go on. So who can fight a spiritual battle and win? Now, I was a tomboy. So I like to play with knives and guns, and I like to play with swords, and I like to play with those things, especially if they're wooden and they don't really hurt you. But, you know, I know some fencing moves. I know some wrestling moves. I know some boxing moves. But that doesn't help me fight a spiritual battle, because those are natural situations, natural fighting, right? Who can fight a spiritual battle and win? Ready? John 1:12 says, a spiritual being. Now, are you a spiritual being? Yes, you are. You are a spiritual being. Why? Because you were born again in the spiritual realm. Born again in the realm of God. How wonderful. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Amen? Let's go ahead. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, meaning Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, if that's you, you can fight a spiritual battle and win. You can fight spiritually. It's not a matter of put up your dukes. No, it's different. Go ahead, sis. Now, I don't know how to fight a spiritual battle. I don't know how to win a spiritual battle. Where am I going to get some help? Ta-da! Hebrews 4:16. This is our help. You guys, this is our help. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be mighty. You have to come boldly to the throne of grace. You remember the word grace? My little one-word definition is gift. The throne where you get gifts and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Next verse says, James 1:5, I still need help. If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I need help. I need wisdom. And God has promised over and over to give it to me. Here's another one. Romans 12:2 in the New Living. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I'm so glad he says you'll learn to know. It doesn't say you're accountable immediately. It says you will learn to know what's good, what's pleasing to God, and what's perfect. So, we're not going to turn to Hebrews 12:2, but it says Jesus is the captain of your salvation. If you're in the army and you don't know what to do, you go to your superior officer. And our superior officer is the captain of our salvation. It's Jesus Christ. I don't know what to do. Now let's talk a little bit examples. This is example only. Example. Don't come to me and start praying about this. It's not happening to me, but it's example, okay? If I have someone in my family that doesn't like me, every time we go to a family reunion, they ignore me, even if it's their house. They don't want to get involved in my life at all, and if they're forced to have any interaction with me, they talk ugly. Now, that's a situation a lot of people have. Okay? I don't want to beat them up. I don't want to wrestle them. But I want peace. I want peace with them. I want a peace with them. So what do? I go to the captain of my salvation. I said, Jesus, I'm coming to the throne of grace. Jesus, I need wisdom. What can I do to mend this relationship? I didn't even know how I broke it. And you know, it could be that I look like their ex-husband's cousin. And so I didn't do anything. I just look like somebody. I mean, I've heard this. I've seen this. And so what do I do? How do I deal with this? I go to Jesus. Ephesians 1:21 says, now he, that's Jesus, is far above or greater than any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. I just want to continually reassure you, if you've got a problem, Jesus is the one that's going to help you fix it. Sometimes he fixes it for you. Sometimes he works with you to fix it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, actually, what is the fight all about? We could name particular circumstances or particular situations. But bottom line, root problem, what is it? Go ahead. Acts 14:27 tells us. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them. Put on your ears. And that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. I'm here to tell you the fight is keeping that door open. Keeping the door of faith in God open. Lord, my relative doesn't like me and they don't speak to me and they're not nice to me. What am I going to do? The fight is to continually believe God will direct me and he will fix this. God loves me and God loves my relative and he wants us to be in peace. So the fight is to continually keep the door of faith open. For example, I want to believe, well, if they're mean to me, I'm just going to be mean back. Whoops, I'm not keeping that door of faith open. Well, if they're not nice to me, I'm never going to a family reunion again. I'll fix them. That's not the door of faith. Well, I tell you what, next time I go, I'm going to sneak behind them and I'm going to put a little dirt in their food. This is not the door of faith, guys. And I'm being silly maybe, but I'm telling you, the fight is not to stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, you get out of my relative and don't you ever come back. Yes, there's a place to do that, but the real place is opening the door of faith to believe God will fix it. Believe God will change it. Why? Because he loves me. Because he loves them. Our fight is to keep the door of faith open. I wish you read that with me. Our fight is to keep the door of faith open in every situation. Keep the door of faith. Now, what does that mean? Sounds kind of churchy. Keep the door of belief, the door of trust. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Yeah, but you don't have money to pay your bills your ex-husband cleaned out your bank account. No, I trust God. Yeah, but you don't have what you need and your coworker is trying to steal your job. They're, what's a nice way to say, kissing up to the boss. And they're trying to say bad things about you. Keep the door of faith open. God will promote you. God will take care of you because he loves you. Now we have God's armor to help us. So next screen, Ephesians chapter 6, 14 through 18. That lists the armor. Let's talk about it a minute. Stand therefore, when you're in a struggle, when you're in a conflict, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. In other words, have the belt of truth on. Now in the Roman armor, the belt is what everything hooked to. So that was central, that was key, to make sure your belt was in good condition and all the things could hang off your belt. You've seen those pictures of military guys and they've got grenades over here and a satellite phone over here and a knife back here and two or three guns. You know, their belt is important. What belt are we supposed to have? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. What is the truth? The truth is that God loves you, and keep that door open to continually believe it. Believe that God loves you. Keep the door of faith open. Well, let's move on. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I used to stumble over this simply because I saw myself in the mirror, and I wasn't always that righteous. But it's not my righteousness on the breastplate. It's the righteousness of God, the rightness. It's God's rightness. Put on God's rightness. And so the devil says, listen, Rick, I'd like to remind you that, you know, you did so-and-so, and that just cut you out of all God had planned. Sorry. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. You just have to say no.
Thank you, Lord.
No. Nothing you have done has cut you out of God's plan for you. The truth is, I've got the door of faith open, and God is coming through it to rescue me. Next piece of armor, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And let me just talk to you about the word peace. Peace doesn't always mean tranquility. You know, everything's peaceful. Nobody's arguing. Nobody's fussing. Nobody's fighting. Everything's okay. No, peace has a little bit stronger meaning than that. Peace means I am in a situation that I have the weaponry to defeat my enemy, and my enemy knows it, so they're not bothering me. Let me say it again. I have the weaponry to defeat my enemy, and my enemy knows it, so he's not bothering me. That's you. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got the blood of Jesus. You have the weaponry you need to defeat the devil, and he knows it. And we don't mind reminding him, so he will leave us alone. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Put that shield on, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts are words, words, words. You're going to fail. You're going to lose. You're going to do without. You're not going to make it. No. Open that door of faith and keep it open. And I'm kind of a visual person, and I just have a picture of myself forcing myself, you know, forcing the door open. I'm not going to let it close. I'm not going to let it close. I'm going to believe God no matter what. Be quiet, devil. I believe in God's love. I believe it. He's coming through for me. The shield of faith. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, salvation, as Baptists, we're taught that means to be born again. Yes, that's step one, born again. But salvation also means to be healed, to be whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in order, everything right. Take the helmet of salvation. How's that going to be everything right if your door of faith is open? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And you know this teaches you that God will make a way, even if it looks like there is no way. Amen. Go ahead. Praying. This is another part of your weaponry, your armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, continue to pray. What should I pray? Pray, reminding yourself and reminding anyone listening, I have my door of faith open, and God is fixing this situation. God is taking care of me. I pray and I believe my door of faith is open, that there looks like no way, looks like it's impossible, looks like I don't deserve it, looks like everything's against me. I feel the pressure and the weight of the world, but no! I'm keeping that door of faith open that the love of God will come in. And that's how you fight. Doesn't sound like a fight, does it? Well, I'll tell you what, when you start having that door trying to close, it is a fight. Amen? Let's go on. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. That's Jesus' promise. You say, well, I've been hurt a lot. I was divorced, and he was terrible, and my children abandoned me, and my job, I lost my job 4 times in a row. You know, you can think of things that have hurt you, but I'm telling you, we're standing up and we're saying, no, by faith, that's in the past, by faith, God is taking care of me. Amen. 1 John 4:4. I'm almost through here. 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them what? them troubles, them devils, them enemies. Overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have Jesus. If we could just open ourselves up and let God show us the power that we have, the power in our words, the power in our belief, the power in the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are in that spiritual realm, and we are in a position of winning. We are winners. And constantly we are bombarded with thoughts and words to say, you're going to fail. It's not going to work. Look at the past. Look at the future. Look at your brother-in-law. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It is going to work if you will keep the door of faith. That's where the spiritual warfare. Now, when I first heard about spiritual warfare, oh my goodness, we were casting the devil out of every pew, every tree, every car, every flat tire. We were casting the devil out. In Jesus' name, devil, you get out of my life. You get out of this. You get out of that. Oh, people would say, come over and anoint my house and cast the devil out. Oh, we'd take our oil over there. And we would pray and we'd cast out the devil. We'd say, oh, I think something terrible happened in this room. So in Jesus' name, devil, you have no place in this house. Yes, there's a time for that kind of spiritual warfare. But there's also an everyday time of keeping the door of faith open. So that when someone says, oh, you look like you're coming down with something, you can agree. Or you can say, no, I'm feeling good, really. My mother was 93 when she went to be with the Lord. And she was a character. And so she lived in an assisted living facility. Thank you, Jesus, for providing that for her. And she said, all they want to talk about is their ailments and their doctor's appointments and their medicine. She said, I'm not sick. I'm not interesting. So she had determined, even if something is wrong, she was not going to give it credence with her words. She was going to keep the door of faith open. Keep the door of faith open. And that's what I encourage you to do. Yes, there's going to be a time the Lord will speak to you to cast the devil out. We know that Jesus cast the devil out. But I'm telling you, the main devil is the one that yak, 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 yak in your ear all the time. And the way we cast him out is we tell him no. I tell you, I found myself in this, it was maybe 5 years ago. I'd have a thought. Your husband's going to be in an accident, traffic accident this afternoon. And I thought, that's God warning me. That was my thinking. God's warning me. I said, okay, he's going to be in an accident. He's going to be in an accident, so I need to make sure the kids are okay. And I need to, what suit am I going to bury him in? And what funeral home are we going to use? And what cemetery? And what songs? What flowers? And how am I going to keep going after he died? He had me putting John in the grave. You see, he, the devil, threw this thought at me, and he made himself sound like God. And so I jumped on that and put my agreement in there, and thank God for protecting John and all of us. I mean, I've had some death in my family, and I was not prepared. Some people say, oh, I just knew it. I knew something was wrong. I didn't. I didn't know a thing. Felt like a regular day to me. Turned out to be not that good. So I'm telling you, the devil would come and say, oh, your children, whew, they've gotten into drugs. And they're going to be going to the hospital and overdose. Their life is over. I mean, I would think that's God warning me. And so I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. He said, when you hear those thoughts, say out loud, no. And that sounds so simplistic, doesn't it? But it helped. And so when I hear your husband's going to be in an accident, your children are going down the tube, everything's going crazy, the church hates you, and they're kicking you out next Sunday, I say, no. No. I say it out loud. I don't care if you're with me or not. I still say it. No. That's not going to happen in Jesus' name. See, that's the war I'm fighting. That's the war you're fighting. You don't look well. Let me buy your lunch because I don't think you've got enough money. You know, all these things, all the time. You just have to stand up and say, no, I've got the door of faith open. I'm keeping it open. My God loves me, and he's more powerful than my mistakes. So even if I did everything wrong, as long as I've invited Jesus to be my Savior, to be born again, he's rescuing me from everything. Amen. Does this help you? Yes. Maybe it's just me. Help me. Hallelujah. Now, we got some praying to do while I've got you gathered here. In Jesus' name, our sweet Anita is sick. She's thinking maybe she has pneumonia. I'm thinking she's needs to be healed. Amen. We're going to open the door of faith for Anita. We don't want her sick. She has several health issues that she has accepted. And we're praying that she's able to throw them all back. Throw them off. And I tell you what, if you're not taught these things, you don't know you're supposed to throw them off. You don't know it's that you're supposed to say, I'm not going to be sick. You're supposed to say, I'm not going to be poor. I'm not going to be attacked. I don't have to worry about my neighborhood. You don't know to throw these things off unless someone tells you, unless you're taught. The Holy Spirit can teach you. A person can teach you. Of course, you have to listen and receive it. Amen. And so we're going to pray for Anita, her health, not just the bronchial mess that she's going through, but all of her health, her heart, everything. We can pray for Anita. Do you agree with that? That yes. Does God want her well?
Yes.
Does she deserve to be well?
Yes.
It doesn't matter. God wants her well. God wants her well. So what's hindering her? Nothing. Nothing, just keeping that door of faith open. Amen. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for Anita, our sweet, sweet sister. You brought her in to be with us. And so, Lord, we intercede for her that she be completely healed. When she wakes up in the morning, she'll have none of the symptoms of pneumonia, none of the symptoms of bronchitis, none of the symptoms of sinus problems. And Lord, I ask you to heal her heart completely. It's impossible for man, but you're not a man. So we put this in your hands to heal her body completely. And Lord, you know we're praying for her to have another place to live, a place in her budget, a place that's safe, a place that she feels safe. And Lord, teach her about the secret place that she can live in all the time, and then move her, Lord, to a place that she needs to be. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we expect this to happen, and we believe it. We hold open the door of faith for Anita, and we refuse for it to be closed. She's going to believe more than anything else that God loves her, and God has not abandoned her, and God has not put her in this trial or this trouble, but that all she has to do to be free is to say, I'm keeping the door of faith open. And we pray this with her in agreement. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, are there other things we need to pray about tonight?
Karen Wright.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, you know Karen. She's your daughter. And I ask you, by blood was shed out Jesus' stripes, out his wounds, she is healed and made whole. And you're moving on her and making her whole now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's like the devil has a list on everybody. And he'll go down it. It's like the list has a button. So, Elizabeth, here's Elizabeth's list. she's weak in a place. She wants to make sure someone loves her. So I'm going to press that button and make her think she's not loved. And if he gets me, he's happy. But if I say, no, I am loved, then he goes to the next thing on the list. Well, you're physically not feeling good. Those cramps you have, or those hot flashes, or those whatever symptoms, he pushes the button. And if I say, yeah, you're right, I'm not feeling that good, he's got me. But if I say, no, I feel fine. I don't even know what you're talking about, devil. Then he's got another one. Well, you know your kids. You know your kids, you want them in church, and your sons, who knows what he's going to do next. And he's not being the preacher you thought he was going to be. And pushing that button. No, God's working with him. See, he's got this list. He gets to the bottom, and if it still doesn't work, he'll go back to the top. Start again, trying to get us to close the door of faith. Is this the thing I won't believe God for? Amen. There's a root cause for any of us, for all of us, to make us believe the lie, whatever the lie might be. So let's pray that God reveals to her what the lie is, so that she can cast it off. Amen. She's supposed to be a strong woman of God, and has been, and needs to come back to that place. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, you know Frances, and you see this attack against her that has her trapped. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name to show her what has her bound, so that she can cast it off through the power of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, devil, I command you to leave Frances alone. Stop speaking to her. I close your mouth. In the name of Jesus, you will not talk to her. You will not give her dreams. You will not give her thoughts. In the name of Jesus, you leave her. You leave her body. You leave that house. In the name of Jesus, Frances, you be free. You be free by the anointing of Jesus Christ. You be free to serve God, to be the woman God called you to be. In Jesus' name, we command it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Peggy, Father, in Jesus' name, we command Peggy to see the light, to see the truth, to hear your voice. Peggy, wake up in the name of Jesus. No more are you bound by that spirit of depression or any other spirit. The lies of the devil fall on deaf ears, Peggy. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you, Peggy, is going to prosper, and every tongue that rises against you, you, Peggy, you condemn it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear some great reports, aren't we?
Yes.
Amen. Great reports. Yes, ma'am.
Her rotator cuff, Father God. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Just pray that you would just be with the medical staff, Father God. If you choose not, we know that it's your will for her to be healed, Father God. But if she doesn't receive this healing, Father God, we pray that you would be with the medical staff, Father God. Maybe she just needs to go through physical therapy, Father God. We claim healing right now for Rutha in the name of Jesus. Rutha, we just speak to you. We know that we just want you to hear this now. Hear it in the spirit realm. Hear that you are healed. Father God says you are healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back. You are healed, Rutha. And we thank you. And we thank you, Father God. And we claim this healing for Rutha. Father, we are the body of Christ, and we stand together just declaring this healing for her, Father God, whether it be spiritual, whether it be supernatural, Father God, or whether it be physical by surgery, Father God. Either way, this woman is healed and made whole, and we give you praise and thanksgiving right now in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Rutha. So I was in the intensive care area with him and praying and praying and praying. Three ribs were broken. Both of his lungs were collapsed. And so I just, by the Lord reminded me of that story of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a vision, you know, of a valley full of dry bones. And those bones came back together correctly. And so suddenly there was an army standing, but they were not alive. And so we want Ruth's shoulder repaired and healed, but we also want life.
Yes.
Life in her. Life in her. The life of God in her. Amen. That's what we'll have. Correct healing, perfect healing, quick healing in Jesus' name. Miraculous healing in the name of Jesus. And Lord, strengthen all of her bones and all of her muscles, all of her tendons and ligaments and all that goes into that. Strengthen her body, Lord, because she's going to go back to gymnastics, and we don't want to hear of any other falls causing her a serious injury anymore. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you are giving her hope. You are giving her faith. You are giving her visions of herself excelling in the area of gymnastics so that she can hook her faith and hook her hope into your word. Lord, bless her and strengthen her and bring her out of this immediately. Oh, I hear the phone call now. You're not going to believe what's happened. We do believe. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. That's the devil's favorite target, to take out these that are called. And I'm not picking one or another. We're all called. All of your children, all of your grandchildren, all of your nieces, all of your, they're all called. Amen. So let's pray for Jeremy, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for picking him up, putting him in your arms, and hugging and comforting and consoling him. Father, his heart is broken. So I ask you in Jesus' name to repair. I'm talking about his emotional heart. To repair his emotions, repair his heart, and put within him, bring laborers to him. Do whatever it takes, Father, that he will believe you. He's had this foundation with you, and now he's gone off thinking that he has to make it happen. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for miraculous job. I ask for peace in his life and peace in his home. I ask that his children be comforted and blessed. I ask that his wife see hope, that she come to the place that Jesus is her hope. And Father, Jeremy already knows that Jesus is the way. He just doesn't know how to fit back in. So Father, I ask you in Jesus' name by supernatural miracle to let him know your great love, to pick him up, to pull him close to you, to comfort him, to shield him, to protect him, and to show him his next steps. And he'll say, I don't know how I know this, but I think I'm supposed to do this. I think we're supposed to do that. And pull him into a place of safety in you. Father, he has a destiny. He has a call. And I ask you in Jesus' name, with your great love, to love him back where he needs to be. In Jesus' name, we all agree and say, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Well, let's stand up. John, if you'll get your microphone, would you bless us through this week? And when you talk about spiritual warfare, the devil doesn't like you knowing his tricks of his trade. So pray protection over all of these
people. I'd like to share something too first, if that's okay. One thing the Lord taught me, you know, at work, sometimes it's real dusty. So you get dust in your nose and you sneeze. And people say, well, you're taking a cold. I said, no, I'm taking a healing. It's my choice. I can take a cold or I can take healing. Right? And I'm not trying to be smarter. I know spiritually I have to take a stand. Yes. I have to take a stand. And if I don't, the default is whatever the world presents to me. Amen. Father, thank you. You have poured out a blessing upon your family. And we receive the fullness of the Lord's blessings upon these people, upon their lives, upon their families, upon their jobs. And Father, we thank you that you're uncovering all the strategies of the devil so that people see them and you are guiding them how to wage warfare and destroy that and stop it in their lives completely, in their families completely. And thank you, Father, you have assigned angels to protect us and lift us up and guard us from all evil. And Father, I thank you, sir, the stripes that Jesus took, the blood run out of those stripes, and that's our healing. And everyone in this place, everyone that's members of this church, be healed and made whole in the temple of God that they live in, operate perfectly in Jesus' name. By the holy Lamb of God. Amen.
Amen.
I got one more. Father, open the door of prosperity. The Lord's blessing overtake these people of God. So we have to give the preaching of the gospel to the world. And we have to feed the poor, Father. We have to also support the families who are starting out the life of faith and don't have. We can help them. Prosper us so we can do your work on the kingdom, in the kingdom, on this earth, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hope, go to the last slide. Would y'all say this with me, please? Read it with me. Through Christ Jesus, we are winners and we win. Say, I win.
I win.
Amen. You're dismissed. Hallelujah.